Novko. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great, great.
You came in with a big smile on your face because it's mild out there.
Can't believe it. I actually took a walk this morning, and I can't wait to go jogging after.
Yeah, I had to go ruin it with jogging.
I haven't jogged in a while, that's for sure.
Well, listen, we're taking your calls here on your renovation projects, renovation questions, something around the house that needs to be fixed. You need a little guidance. Walter's your man. 514-790-0800. 514-790-0800. As we say good morning as well to our listeners in the London, Ontario region. They're hearing the show as well live this morning on CJBK, 1290, News Talk Radio there. And of course, CJAD 800. By the way, that toll-free number to call is 1-800-491-CJAD. Oh, that needs oiling, eh?
I see that. WD-40.
Again, 514-790-0800. Home improvement questions. You can call right now and talk to Walter. I have a couple of questions for you. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
These are personal questions here about my house. It looks like I'm getting a new furnace in 2018. Mm-hmm. And we also want to look at getting some humidity back in the house. And, you know, you turn up the heat in the wintertime, the house can really dry up.
Absolutely.
And so I'm looking at, because it suggested to me that the one option is, instead of having a humidifier, the portable ones, you have the humidifier built right into the furnace.
Mm-hmm.
You recommend that?
I do.
Do they work well?
They work well up to a certain point. You might have a room or two in the house that you might have to need to put a portable humidifier. But generally for the whole house, they do.
Okay.
Now, what I don't recommend is for you to install it with the air exchange system, because sometimes you have units for that. If you're going to go that route, I would suggest a heat recovery system.
Explain that.
What that does, it takes 50% of the humidity that's taken out of the house and it brings it back in. And that's in the, if you have a, do you have an air exchanger in the house?
Yes.
Okay. So if you have an air exchanger, you can have what you call a heat recovery system. And that helps in the humidity.
Okay.
If you're going to install it on the furnace, it's fine. It's great. Okay. But do not let the technician have installed it on the exchange system, because that's not going to work as well.
All right. Okay. Very good. All right. Duly noted. 514-790-0800. Can I ask you one more before we go to the phones?
Absolutely.
Okay. The lines are just settling right now. I'm thinking, I keep putting this off year after year. I've been putting this off, but I want to get a new garage floor. My garage floor is a mess. It's concrete. It's chipped. It's broken. I want to fix the drain. Which way should I go? What do you recommend for a new garage floor?
Oh my
that can hold up during our terrible, messy winters.
There's a lot of different products right now that are great and they're very durable. One of them that I like is the epoxy with a sealer. It's great. It's you see it a lot in commercial, like in retail stores now. It's a big trend. You go and it's like a cement floor that have a design in it. That's a great product. Do you have the that mixed with resin, so you can do any color you want as well. Epoxy resin,
and it wears well.
It wears extremely well if it's well applied. Let me put it for you this way. I had a cement porch and I didn't like the way cement looked, so I add resin to it. With a color that exactly the color I wanted, because I wanted to match the granite right next to my house pillars, and it just works wonderful. I've had it for 5 years, not even a chip on it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, and I put salt, and I'm not being very gentle with it, that's for sure.
I'm dreading, though, cleaning out the garage to get that work done. 514-790-0800. Call toll-free as well. We'll pick up the dime there. 1-800-491-CJAD. Walter, we're ready to go to the phone. We're going to go to Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. What's your question for Walter?
I'd like to ask him, we're planning to renew our kitchen in the spring, complete gut, and I'm thinking of using IKEA cabinetry.
Mm-hmm.
Would you recommend that cabinet? I know my neighbor didn't. They liked it. And I think they have installers, professional installers who do it. Are there any quality issues?
They do. They do. I mean, it's really a question of what is your definition of quality, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The cabinets, typically they come dismantled and you have to kind of assemble them yourself, or you can hire a professional assembler for that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had, good experiences and bad experiences with speaking to customers in the past. Now, the really important thing in all of this is the proper design, because some of them, I've seen some customers that they, you know, they give them this sheet and they fill it up themselves,
take
measurements and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not a professional designer, right? So mistakes could happen in that, and you could end up with a lot of fillers, and that will make your innovation look really bad. So if you're going to go that route, hire a professional designer to draft it for you.
Okay. You recommend. And, yes, I know. My husband drafted it on the computer design there. But yeah. Okay.
So Karen, you said, you're doing a complete gut of the kitchen, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the design is one thing. That's very important when we look at the design. You want to avoid having as many fillers as possible. You have fillers that you have no choice to have.
Okay.
But you don't want to look like you're just filling in the blanks because you made a mistake here, a mistake there. Because on the total design, it's going to look terrible. So when you have a professional designer, they're going to professionally take the proper measurements, because measurements are not just you have to take them in different heights of the wall to ensure that the walls are straight.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just take them on the bottom or the top. You want to see in the middle as well to see if there's any variance.
So
there's ways. Hire someone professional at least for the measurements and
for the measurements.
And for the design.
I don't believe they have any professional designing services there. I think that from what I've understood, like I say, some places do have a designer.
I don't know if they have any in-house designers or no.
I'm not sure.
Don't think so. As long as someone, I don't believe they do. Yeah, that's the only thing. I know there's some companies that do. So, I mean, I don't personally, I don't know if it's an all-wood. I don't really care to have all-wood cabinetry as long as it's a nice, like a wood, you know.
We recently installed IKEA cabinets in our laundry room, just above the washer and dryer. They're great. I mean, it was affordable, easy to put together. I mean, we had someone do it, of course, but it wasn't too complicated, despite what the jokes are about putting stuff together at IKEA. And it looks great, too. So I recommend it.
Okay, cool. And professional designing services, where could I guess you just look somebody up on the internet?
You can look specifically for cuisinists, because a designer is one thing.
Yes.
You want to have a designer that have a kitchen specialty, and it's called a cuisinist.
Cuisinist.
Yeah.
Cuisinist.
So kitchen designer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cuisinist. Those are kitchen designers.
Yeah, and you have a whole bunch of them, and they can probably assist you.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. And I believe the IKEA have professional installers, those who install the cabinetry, because I don't think, my husband's very handy, but I don't think he'll do the installation
for
the cabinetry.
Do the installation yourself.
Yes,
believe you
me. So I'm trying to convince him. Good.
Forever.
My husband's listening, so.
And
it, yes.
You know, and if you don't know what you're doing, the problem is you can damage easily panels with IKEA, because, I mean, it's literally what you're doing is you're buying the kitchen in pieces and you're putting it together.
Yes.
So technically, you have to be half a carpenter doing so, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes.
So, hire, it's worth every dime, and hire their installers, please.
Karen, for the sake of the marriage, take it from me. Don't have him do it.
Yes, okay, no, that's fine. That's cool. He's listening. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Karen.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye. 514-790-0800. Grab that line right now. If you want to talk to Walter, you have a question, you have a project at home, he's your guy. Call right now. It's 915.
You are listening to the Home Improvement Show with Jan Eakes, originally broadcast on CJAD 800 AM in Montreal, Quebec, and podcast on JanEakes.com.
Jan's off for a second week. He's back next Saturday morning after some vacation time. But Walter Assey from Renovco is here doing a great job. And good morning as well to our listeners at News Talk 1290 CJBK in London, listening in with iHeartRadio and that great app. And of course, here in Montreal, CJAD 800 News Talk Radio. You can call 1-800-491-CJAD. That's toll free if you're out of town, and locally 514-790-0800. Call right now and grab a line. We're going to Terry, who's been waiting through the commercial break. Hi, Terry.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Question regarding gap filling a pine boards. Here's a little bit of the backstory. I have a finished basement with wainscoting that I installed probably 10 years ago with pine tongue and groove boards.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just finished with a simple shellac. Updated it a couple of months ago by repainting them white, and I gap filled all of the boards. And of course, didn't really think about this, but the shrinkage, I guess, that happens with the extreme dry weather we've had, or cold weather, caused most of the gaps to crack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, is there a product out there that can expand and work with these boards so that, you know, over the changes of seasons that I don't get these gaps reappearing all the time.
What product do you use to fill these gaps?
Oh, I just use one of those gap filler polyfiller things.
Okay. Is it like caulking or is it like a wood filler?
No, it was like a white paste.
Yeah. Okay. So there are in those pastes, so caulking, silicone, there are different paintable qualities.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are more flexible than others.
Right.
Unfortunately, depending on how big the gaps are, you might have to still have to deal with this in different times of the year, especially when the seasons change.
Right.
But there are more flexible type silicones or caulking paintable that you could use. You know, it also depends on the installation. I mean, if it's well installed, the gap should not be that big. So I don't know if you have an issue with that.
When you install them,
are they tongue and groove? Did you reinstall them again? Take them out and reinstall them, or you put brand new ones?
No, just to simply paint it over the shellac. But gap filled them first, and I. You know, they've been there 10 years, so I just assumed that there was some stability there, but obviously
no.
Not so with the change in humidity.
Yeah.
So a silicone-based product with some flexibility might actually work then?
It will work, that's correct. The other thing would be is for you to watch the humidity in your basement, specifically at the time change. So we were talking about, humidifiers or dehumidifiers when need be.
Uh-huh.
So if you keep that under control, it should be fine.
Oh, I see. Just add some artificial humidification to it.
Correct. Correct. Oh. Exactly. So you want to keep it anywhere between 35% to 55%.
Right.
That's the accepted norm. And if you're there, you're gonna make the wood work less. Thus, you're gonna have better results with whatever filler you're gonna put there.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Terry.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate the call. 514-790-0800 for your call and question here on the Home Improvement Show. Nancy is in Dorval. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. What's your question?
Well, I had my roof done in 2009 and about 4 years after, in my kitchen, it started to leak. So the company came and they said that it was some kind of a coming through the bathroom vent or some kind of vent that's in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So they said they fixed the problem, but to my surprise this week, I'm dealing with the same problem. And at 2:00 in the morning last night, it started leaking near my door, but I have a lot of snow pile up. It's like a little, my roof is like a barn.
A barn.
But like a barn shape, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, in the front now, there's a little extension of a roof, and there's a lot of snow,
mm-hmm.
and it's starting to, like, leak there. So what do you do at this point?
Let me ask you a question. When you change your roof, did you put ice shield membrane on the perimeter of the roof?
Well, this is it. I'm going to look at my bill. I have to dig it out, and I'm going to have to check that. If they didn't, do I have any recourse or anything? Or
well, yeah, if they didn't, you definitely have big-time recourse. There's only one snag with that. In Quebec, unfortunately, the code for eye shield membrane is only 3 feet around the perimeter of the roof.
Uh-huh.
But because of our weather, 3 feet is not enough in most cases.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, I mean, roofers, to be competitive in the price, they would just put 3 feet. Our standards usually are 6 to 9, even 12 feet. There's certain roofs that we ice shield the whole roof simply because the slant is not that that pronounced.
Right.
What you might be experiencing right now is what we're calling ice damming, and that's a problem that we're going to talk about tomorrow in the notebook, because a lot of customers are experiencing that.
Okay.
Especially that now we have the mild weather and the snow is melting.
Yeah.
So any roof that is not properly ventilated or properly done or have some issues, mechanical issues or ice shield issues, will leak, this, unfortunately, at this point.
Well, no. I kind of thought so, but would it help to put the heat coils around, like...
Yes.
It would, eh?
Yes. So a couple of things you could do until the spring so you can have a more permanent fix.
Yes.
Heating coils or just keeping the snow off the roof so no ice could build up in those problematic areas specifically. You don't need to remove the snow from the whole roof. What you really need is the perimeter of the problematic areas to be free from ice and snow accumulation.
Hmm. Okay. So it's good to have somebody do that. Like when there's a heavy snowfall, you call somebody, they come take the snow off right away?
Exactly. I mean, you don't have to do it again. It might be a problem that you get every snowfall. It's just when you have those heavy snowfalls and only in these problematic areas, right? The other thing, when the spring comes, okay, most of the clients that we see, they have changed the roof. And the roofer went and they were a tunnel vision. They had a tunnel vision task of changing the shingles in the roof.
Right.
And that job is typically done. But a good roofer goes way, way beyond that.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
A roof is not just the shingles. A roof is about the ventilation. It's about the soffits. It's about the insulation inside the attic. It's a whole system. And, you know, we're talking about vents. And sometimes the roofer did a fabulous job. They did the eye shield membrane, did everything. But you have this bathroom vent that is too close to the soffits. And, yes, it will leak.
Oh,
right,
okay.
So I mean, these things you don't know. They have to tell you. Even if you have to displace it and pay an extra cost, they are the roofer. It's their job to tell you.
Yeah.
It's not their job to move it, maybe, but it's their job to tell you.
Right, right. Well, okay. So far the heat coils, I'll do that for sure. And if I have somebody check the membrane, probably you're right about the 3 feet. Probably that's all they put. I'll assure that they put a lot more.
Yeah, just look at the contract.
Okay.
Good luck with that, Nancy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye now. Bye-bye. I'm just thinking, we're talking about the snow. It was a week ago today, right? We got the 37 inches. The 37 centimeters of snow.
And now it's all melting.
And now it's all melting. That is Walter from Renovco filling in for Jan. Grab a line right now. Grab the one that Nancy just freed up at 514-790-0800. Back with more of your phone calls coming up next on The Home Improvement Show.
You are listening to The Home Improvement Show with Jan Eakes. Originally broadcast on CJAD 800 AM in Montreal, Quebec. And podcast on yawneeks.com.
And on News Talk 1290 CJBK in London, Ontario. If you're listening in from that region, by all means, come on the air with us and Walter will talk to you. 1-800-491-CJAD. 1-800-491-CJAD. That line is toll-free. Locally, 514-790-0800. Walter's in for Jan Eakes. Ready to go?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to the... we're going to talk to Jeff. Good morning, Jeff. Hey,
Good
Jeff.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
What's your question?
I have a heating in my sitting room, which is about 300 square feet, and is a baseboard heating, and two baseboards is 1500 kilowatt. And when I put the heating at 21 degrees C, it doesn't go up. It just say at 21. I cannot go higher.
Are they both linked to the same thermostat?
No, each is having a different thermostat, and thermostat capacity is 3,000 kilowatt capacity.
Okay. Is the thermostat installed on the machine itself?
No, they are on the wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Where are the thermostats placed?
One thermostat is on the front, on the window side. One is on the other side, back side.
Okay. One of the things you want to look at that we've seen often is that the thermostats sometimes are badly placed.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a case that the client was complaining about not enough heat in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
but the heat was installed between a cupboard and mm-hmm. another cupboard, and it was tucked in the wall where you had to, you know, slide down your hand and play with the thermostat. So obviously that area was warmer than the rest of the room. And the thermostat would get to a certain temperature much faster. So you want to check the thermostat. You want to also check the units themselves. How old are units?
It's 25-year-old house.
Okay. So the units are up there in age.
Yeah, maybe I was thinking maybe I had to change the higher capacity or maybe I had to change them.
Well, you know, you'd be surprised because you could potentially have one baseboard heater that is sufficient in length that can, you know, can cover the whole room, and then it will actually cost you less in heating costs. So you don't necessarily need two baseboards and it's 300 square feet. You could have, you know, one baseboard that is long enough to cover that capacity. So you might have a problem with the units themselves. They're both the same age units.
Yeah.
So you might want to look at that.
I have to change the new one, I think. Huh?
Yeah. The thermostat you have, is it digital or is it manual?
No, this is thermostat is I changed to digital. There are manual also, but I removed the manual. I put with a hydro cooler, give some rebate. So I put the new one.
Digital?
Digital, yeah.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
All right.
Yeah.
Let us know how that goes if you actually change the actual baseboard.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good
luck with that. I appreciate the call. From Jeff, we'll go to Villa Sal and say hi to Judy, who's been waiting. Hi, Judy.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for waiting, and we thank you for listening. Listen, tell me about this new flat roof, and what are you concerned about?
Okay, I have a new flat roof, and it's a membrane, too?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's 3 feet or 6 feet. What should I know about that 3 feet or 6 feet that he was telling the previous caller?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
you have nothing to worry about if you have a flat roof. This was mostly for shingle roofs, okay?
Because
shingles are made to assist the water coming down the roof, and it's not, you know, made in or constructed in any way to when the shingle lifts because of the ice and the water travels upstream. Because below that there's the, you know, you have the ice shield, but after that you have the black or the synthetic paper. And that's not very, so the ice shield is important when we're dealing with shingle roofs. If you have the elastomeric membrane, is that the one that they torch down when they actually put it?
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a good system. You don't have to worry about anything if it's well installed, of course. The trick with that was when they installed it, they want to make sure there was no air bubbles left behind.
Okay.
And the seams overlap properly.
Okay.
If that's properly done, you have absolutely nothing to worry about.
Okay, what happens to all that snow on the roof? Like, we did have 36 centimeters. Does it accumulate there? Is it, I don't know, I got worried this snowfall because thinking if all that snow's on the roof, or does it blow off, I think?
Well, I mean, some of it will melt, some of
melting,
it will blow
yeah.
off. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're getting plus zero temperatures.
Yes.
We're going to have a lot of melting. You know, it's also a question of common sense, right? Not
okay.
every 30 centimeter snowstorm is going to be an issue.
Exactly.
If we have 60 centimeters of snow, then you know, the roof itself does not become as much as the issue as the weight on the roof
exactly.
of the snow. So you have structural issues to worry about.
Hmm.
We're not there yet. We have mild temperature. That's supposed to take care of a good chunk of that. And,
okay.
Yeah. Is it? Did you install this roof this year, last year?
Just this year in July.
Oh, okay.
So it's a great year to test the roof because.
I have one other question. While he was doing my roof, I have a slant on the side, which is probably maybe 2 feet, you know, and it goes from the roof down, like makes like an awning or something.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And when we have big snowfalls, that snow just sticks there. And then when it starts to melt, it falls right into the walkway. And I asked him to repair that, and he said there was no way to repair that.
How would you want to repair that exactly?
Well, I don't know. Is it better to take it off? Or I think it's only there as, you know, to make the house look nice.
Yeah, I mean, if it's cosmetic and it's problematic, then definitely take it off. A lot of cases, these things were built after the roof, so it's a different roofing system, not even linked to the house.
So it's not really serving any purpose then?
Not really serving
any purpose. Cosmetic, as you
yeah.
say?
So if it's,
yeah, that's what I was wondering, and I said that to him. Is it just to make it look nice? Well, I have more worry when the snow is falling off of there and I'm walking on the walkway and it falls and hits me on the head.
Yeah.
No, so, I mean, then in this case, if it's just purely cosmetic, because there's not much you could do from a roofing perspective to
okay.
stop that from happening. I mean, you want the slant, it's there.
Yes, exactly.
And there's not much a roofer could do. I mean, he could install grills at the end of it, but, you know,
okay.
How nice it's going to look. that's going to be another story.
All right, Judy, thanks for the call. Good luck with that.
Thank you so much, and I enjoy your show. I listen every Saturday morning.
Oh, we appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. It's 9:42. Very nice call. Mark, hi, how are you?
I'm okay, you?
Oh, we're good. Walter from Renovco is here. He's the expert. What do you have for him?
Hi, Walter. I have a question and a comment. Last summer, 2017, my daughter's house, they got their roof redone by, I won't mention the name, somebody advertises on CJD. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the roof was redone. It's a pitch roof with shingles.
Okay.
And finally, about a week ago, what happened, she noticed leaking in her upstairs washroom. It leaked all the way to her cabinets downstairs. The cabinets, one of them or two of them, that the shelves were all warped. Basically, she called the company. They showed up. They came and looked at it. The guy crawled through. He went and looked in the attic. They hadn't reconnected the two vents for the two washrooms. So naturally, all the heat was up there, mm-hmm. heating the sea of the roof. The roof melted the water. The water came in, mm-hmm. and they came in through the, inside the walls. Now, I'm sure that any roofer with the right mind would reconnect the vents. They don't just leave them there, because I put up those fans and the vents myself. Mm-hmm. Okay, at the beginning of the summer of 2017, and I did, I connected the vents to the air traps that come outside. These guys just redid the shingles and dropped the air vents right into the attic. Mm-hmm. So, I'm pretty sure that they have to reconnect the vents. And what happened? They show up. They had no tools. They asked my daughter for tape. They put up duct tape. You put aluminum tape. You never use duct tape for duct work, mm-hmm. because it's the last thing you want to use for duct. Duct tape never is used for duct work.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's what I have to say. I'd need your opinion, and also I'd like to mention that I've installed 6 IKEA kitchens, and like you've mentioned, you need somebody that knows what they're doing with measurements, because you have your door frames, your window frames. People tend to forget those, and then you have to put your cabinets over your door frames, which looks really ugly, and you'll have a lot of spacers, like you said.
Yeah.
But the cabinets themselves, like Ken said, they're fantastic.
Yeah,
I had a client, as a matter of fact, they paid a lot of money. It's a very good-looking kitchen, but measurements was an issue, and it looks hideous. They did it about 4 years ago, and now they want to redo it again because there's just a lot of empty spaces. And so, yeah, you want to know what you're doing and take the proper measurements for sure.
Very good. Thank you so much for the call, Mark, into Montreal. It's 9:44. You know what? This is a time we're just going to take a quick little break here. We'll come back with more of your calls here on The Home Improvement Show.
You are listening to The Home Improvement Show with Jan Eakes, originally broadcast on CJAD 800 AM in Montreal, Quebec. And podcast on JanEakes.com.
We do our best. Walter Azzi from Renovco is sitting in for Jan this morning. Jan will be back next week here in the chair. We say good morning to all our listeners on News Talk 1290 CJBK as well in London, Ontario. You can call into the show. It's toll free at 1-800-491-CJAD. Grab a line here if you're listening locally at 514-790-0800. Walter, we're going to say good morning to Diane. Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
Oh,
perfect timing. It's very windy this weekend, and I'm in the townships, and where I'm located, I have a lot of wind. Mm-hmm. I have vinyl on my house, and I'd like to change it because it is quite noisy. So now I'm looking to see what would be the best product. There's so many products. There's like Maybeck and Brady Board or something like that, and I'm just trying to get an idea where what I should look for to... cost-effective, least amount of noise, and, of course, long-term wear and tear in this windy area.
Yeah. So you want to have something rigid, not to flap around in the wind.
Because exactly.
It is a wind tunnel where you're located.
Yeah.
There are vinyl cement boards right now that look exactly like vinyl, and they come in different colors and different finishes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, what I love about these products is that they're fire-resistant.
And do you have a name for this?
They have multiple brands. So you just look for cement boards.
Okay.
And there's multiple brands that are producing multiple factories. And we've had very good reviews on that. From a solidity and rigidity perspective, they're great. They also answer the finish because some, right now matte finish is a big thing, and then shiny and semi-gloss. And so not only the colors are addressed, but also the finish.
Big variety there.
Correct.
Yeah. That's why I'm looking to see where do I gear myself, because I could spend 2 months looking at a variety of products, but I don't know I'd like to maybe center it down to maybe two or three or four products and then compare, but I don't know where to go.
So even the big building stores have them now.
Okay.
At one point, there were, when they just came down, there were just specialized stores. Now even the big box store, they have them.
Okay. And it's called cement board?
Yeah, they're like exactly like the vinyl planks or cement planks. Mm-hmm. They come in different sizes as well. So if you want to have a bigger board, smaller board.
And this is not like a Maybeck. Maybeck is wood, I believe.
Maybeck is wood or simili wood.
And how is that compared to the...
From a fire rating perspective, you're talking about cement and you're talking about wood. So 100% from a fire rating. The other aspect that you want to also look into, different municipalities impose different finishes. So there's certain municipalities in Montreal that if it does not have a fire rating, the product, they will not let you install it.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah, and that particular product, I've never had a no yet on it because it's just fantastic from a fire rating and from a look perspective, by the way. It really looks nice.
If I may, a quick question, you're on roofing. I have to change my roof also this spring because I have two leaks already, and it is in the valleys. So now I'm looking to see there's Wakefield something or other that has metal shingle-like shingles, but they're in metal. Mm-hmm. Is it worth the extra expense, or are the newer shingles now better quality than what they used to be? And is it okay to go with the shingles as they are now, whether it's ICO or BP or whatever, rather than go to the expense of the metal shingles?
Yes. So yes and no for both answers, really. In shingles, we have different qualities, as you know. So you have the 15-year, the 25-year, the 50-year. There's also different brands. For example, if you go with a Timberline 50-year shingle, it's a fantastic product.
It's
going to be down to the quality of the shingle you're going to... For sure, I would eliminate the 15-year shingle.
Yeah, well, the one that I have on now was supposed to be 30 to 35 years, and it's only done 17, and it's leaking and so far in four different places.
Yes, but again, in all fairness to the shingle, you want to also look at everything else around the shingle. So if you have an insulation problem in your attic, you are decreasing the life of your shingles. If you don't have adequate ventilation in your attic, you're doing the same.
Yeah, that I do. We have a lot of ventilation, and it's a big open attic, so... I think it was just a product that was badly made.
Was it a BP? Was it a BP product?
It was ICO.
ICO. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, again, if you look at the reviews, the newer shingles, we have way less problems with them, and usually they're better made. What I would do is I would get a coat. I would get an estimation on the metal shingles because, I mean, there's also the cosmetic aspect of the shingle as well.
Yeah.
I mean, some people do not like to look at the metal as much. So if you can.
No.
Yeah. Get a quotation. If the difference is important, I would just go with, you know, a good quality shingle that is from a reputable brand that has been properly reviewed.
I thank you so much. Very helpful. At least I have a bit of a guidance as to where to go now.
Absolutely.
But Diane, you bring up a good point because I feel the same way. Sometimes I don't like when I have too much choice. It drives me crazy.
Exactly. You waste so much time and then not to say, but such as myself, a woman, we still get that attitude. Yeah, little lady. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where's your husband, you know?
Well, you're not getting it here.
And I, like the previous caller, listen to you every week, so I do learn something every time. So, but no, that's why it's to have an idea where to go. At least I center it down to two or three different products, and then we can compare apples with apples.
This home you're living in the townships is one of these roofs with multiple levels, a very complicated roof?
No. Well, yeah, it is, actually, yes. One of these nice little wonderful peaks and valleys wonderful until it's time to change a roof, and then you go, oh boy.
You know the problem with roofing jobs, the main issue is inspections. We don't tend to go up to the roof ourselves, or most people don't, to go and inspect if the guy did, you know, put everything back,
if everything was well done. You put your trust in them.
You put your 100% trust. Because inside, like when you do interior work, general contractor, you're using your eyes to evaluate the guy's work. So there is a way out that I find is a great idea when you're doing roof jobs. You hire roofing inspectors to inspect the roofers.
As they were doing it. as they're doing it?
Yes. So that roofing inspection, and by the way, it's not a very expensive thing, but it's worth every penny.
Where do you find these people?
Oh, my God, all over the internet. There are companies that specialize strictly in that. Now, they're mostly used for commercial jobs, industrial jobs, for big surfaces, but they have residential departments as well that will do just that.
All right, Diane and the townships, thank you so much for the great call and the kind words about the Home Improvement Show. The cement board, can we just get back to the cement boards?
Sure.
Is that costly?
You know what? It's worth every penny. It's not as much. I would say it's double the cost of the vinyl.
Okay.
But from a...
Long-term?
Long-term, no comparison.
Walter, it's been a great 2 weeks. Thank you so much for filling in for Jan.
Always a pleasure.
Walter Assey from Renovco. Great job as always. Thank you for listening in. Here on CJAD 800 and News Talk 1290 CJBK.